So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
So strong, the rich and the poor ones, the world is so long, and so happy Christmas, for black and for white, for yellow and red ones, let's stop.
I'm not going to do the whispering thing this year. I just don't think we should do it. So I'm just going to say Merry Christmas, Corey.
Merry Christmas, and now you can start whispering. We'll whisper the whole show now.
Happy Christmas, Corey.
We're just doing it in reverse.
Okay.
Keeping fresh.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. I mean, there's plenty of that on Twitch. We don't need to bring it to downtown Northfield.
Next oh time. God, Twitch.
Yeah.
I just found out about Twitch actually not that long ago.
Playing to the stereotype.
It's a little weird. All right. Welcome to Christmas on the Cannon, year three.
Year three. Wow.
Wow.
This is the year with a Santa Claus.
okay.
Who knows?
I don't.
Threw you off track right now.
I just showed
you the picture.
Okay. Oh, yes.
A Year Without Santa Claus, 1970, Rankin Bass movie.
Yes.
And this is the year with the Santa Claus because you did
the Santa Claus thing. Yeah. You grew your beard out and the whole thing. You did. What's weird to me is that I feel like we didn't. It's not that long ago since we did Halloween on the Cannon.
No, it wasn't.
It's not that long since I saw you, but you had enough time in between last time I saw you and now to actually grow your beard out long enough to be Santa Claus.
Yeah, beards grow.
That thing must grow at like an inch a day or something.
No, no. Science says half an inch a month for a typical man.
So is that right?
I don't know if I'm typical or atypical, but I think I grew up.
Yeah, but
about
it's only been
months.
A couple of months.
Yeah.
And you got a solid 2 inches on that. More than that, 3 inches, 4 inches.
Well, thank you.
We're not going. Don't laugh at that. That's just, come on, folks. It's a Christmas show. It's a family show.
We're just talking about carrots.
Okay.
Anyway. Welcome. What time does this air?
Wednesday nights at probably 7 p.m.
Christmas on the Cannon.
Christmas on the Cannon. Christmas after dark. Well, yes. You know, there'll be a midnight ramble at midnight, and it'll be the blue Christmas on the Cannon.
Yeah. Well, let me say, I feel privileged
That's
to be back
true,
in the studio
the
with you.
Well.
We did, well, let me.
Last year, you know, yeah. I'm gonna say this. Last year sucked.
I mean, we made do.
We did. And there were,
everybody did, right?
The show, yeah, exactly. And the shows were fine. But it was nowhere near as enjoyable as just having the two of us in the studio and you know the biplane and all that
I would
fun
agree.
Stuff.
And we've done obviously Independence on the Cannon and Halloween on the Cannon. Yep. So we've been in studio together.
Exactly.
But this is a different show.
Well, this is the flagship.
Yeah.
Of the on the Cannon series. This is the mothership right
this
here.
This is the ratings driver for 95.1 FM.
No question.
Hey, Wyman Radio, 1080 AM.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, well, that and, you know, I'd like to think Fine Tune does a better job than we do, but whatever.
Well, I didn't say what ratings they were driving. I'm glad you took that as a positive. Right.
So the first song we played this evening was John Lennon and Yoko Ono and the Harlem Youth Choir?
Community Choir.
Harlem Community Choir.
Which are my second favorite part of that song.
What's your favorite part of the song?
John Lennon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make a joke like you're a big fan of Yoko's vibrato at the end there or something. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
You know, it's a wonderful song. It's a fantastic song. It would have been better if Yoko had just not been in the studio that day. Anyway, but that was Happy Christmas War is Over from 1971. Here's what I found out about that song recently. He released that song while the song Imagine was still on the charts. At least it was in America. Mm-hmm. He recorded that song. Imagine came out like October 1st. The album came out October 1st, 1971. He recorded that song on Halloween, 1971, and it got released on December 1st. And his whole thing was, in the time like between when the album was released, right, and when he wrote, like he literally wrote "Happy Christmas War Is Over" in about 3 hours the day before they recorded it. Okay. Actually, that's not true because they had to make some arrangements, but it didn't take him very long to record this song. Imagine became an immediate hit and an immense hit right away. Like people couldn't hear enough of Imagine.
Rightfully so.
In October of 1971. And frankly, I can't hear enough of Imagine today. Mm-hmm. And it was like this light bulb went on in his head, right? He had tried to make political statements in his music before and it had never worked, right? But he had never written anything that was pretty to go along with the political statement.
Melody matters.
Exactly. And what he said was, I figured it out. I cracked the code. You have to offer a little honey with your message.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because like, you know.
Is that where Yoko came in?
I think it was, remember, Yoko was before he cracked the code.
Yeah.
So,
oh, okay.
You know, we rip on Yoko and it's a lot of that's unfair because she is a pretty remarkable woman.
Huge contributions.
Huge. And not just not maybe not to music. Anyway. Now I've lost my train of thought. I don't know where
the
I'm
honey.
Going with this.
You need to bring the honey.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So but like he had tried before, like and like a song like Give Peace a Chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a great song. I mean it's the message is fantastic, right? And it's got some interesting lyrics because of the way John just sort of goes extemporaneously off the top of his head.
Yeah.
But it's not a good song and it's really repetitive, right? And so it, you know, it just doesn't work. But something like Imagine, he figured it out. So then he tried to do the same thing again with Happy Christmas War Is Over. And he didn't quite, it's not Imagine, But he, you know,
I mean, it's not, but he did
still
okay.
It's still pretty good. Yeah, the song still gets covered all over the place too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's easy targets for artists, right? Go for the big guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no pun intended with this anti-war song. Can I tell you something? I mean, this is so dumb. I'm not an audiophile like you would be. So I'm trying to think of in my lifetime where I've heard this song, like in terms of like car versus computer versus store.
Sure.
This morning, actually, I was listening to through the playlist and I had headphones on because I was up early and I didn't want to wake anybody. And at the beginning, the Happy Christmas, Kyoko, and Happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, holy, it's one ear and then it's the other ear.
Yeah.
I mean, it just caught me so off guard because I don't think I've ever experienced it in that way, which is just ridiculous to say.
But. And that was actually, the song was produced by Phil Spector, mm-hmm. who just passed away about a year ago and is now rotting in hell. But
behind the wall.
Yeah, exactly. He was a good producer. He understood how to do that stuff. Sure. That was cute. All right. So
you had mentioned before we got on air about favorite covers of this song, and I think you have a great idea. And I think in the business they call this a tease, right? So next year, come back because mm-hmm. Rich has a great idea.
I do have a really good, and there's enough good covers of this song to do this. So in fact, we're going to have to do some pairing now because there's at least a dozen
and plenty of bad ones too,
which we're going to have to wade through to get to the good ones. But
so I'm pledging to you, and I'm pledging to the audience, that I'm not going to bring as much research as I typically do for one of these shows.
Disappoints me, actually.
Well, I mean, there'll still be some. Don't worry. But these shows get to be quite lengthy.
Yeah,
and I guess we don't really get much feedback, so I don't know if that means that's good or bad. But I want to try to keep this show moving ahead. I do have a couple surprises for you that I'm going to share. But first, the question on the cover versions. Did you know a 73-year-old Andy Williams covered this song?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's on his I Still Believe in Santa Claus album.
1990.
Yeah.
Not good.
I've not heard it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to hear that one.
I have found my care for his music really jarring in the last few weeks as I listen to more music because
really?
There are some songs of his I think he's just dynamite on.
Yeah.
And then I hear other versions of like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, and then I'm like, oh my god, this guy's not good. Like, his voice is just, it's perfect for certain songs, and other songs, he's just so off the mark,
well,
in my opinion.
You know, when Andy Williams was in his 50s, mm-hmm. Which I think was probably his, like,
TV special era.
His career peak. Mm-hmm. I mean, his voice, he had that weathered enough voice to put a little depth to it and, mm-hmm. and a little creak to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But by the time you're... I'll give you a great example. About 6 years ago, my daughter took me to see Gordon Lightfoot on my birthday, right? Gordon Lightfoot, I'm a huge fan of Gordon Lightfoot, right? I'd never seen him before. And at this point, Gordon was 74, 75. You know, that deep baritone, it was all gone. Like, he had gone from the manly baritone to this sort of flat, but thin tenor voice, and it's just what happens when you get older, you know.
I'm fascinated by voices changing because Elton John, on the other hand, and you get those singers who have kind of the higher pitch,
right,
higher tone,
right,
that they deepen.
Yeah,
I mean, there's probably reasons for it, right?
Yeah.
It's probably how you care for your voice and just maturity and stuff like that.
It absolutely has everything to do with how you care for your voice and your body,
mm-hmm.
no question. Gordon Lightfoot has lived a hard life,
sure,
you know,
and but Elton has too. So why did his go the other way?
Because Elton has always taken care of his throat and his vocal cords and his lungs.
But why would his voice deepen though as he gets older? If most people get softer or get higher,
it's a good question. And I don't know.
I thought
the
maybe you knew.
Question.
I'm not trying to put you
on
the spot.
No. I don't know that. I know that like Gordon Lightfoot's voice is gone because it's been abused, and now Elton John. Has abused his body, no question, but sure. He also got sober in the mid-80s,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah.
Mid to late 80s, and has lived a pretty healthy lifestyle for the last 30-some years.
Wasn't it like after the Shea Stadium concert? Sometime after in the 80s, mid-80s?
It was, I don't remember exactly when it was.
Maybe I'm just trying to pigeonhole his life to a movie. Just convenient pacing for story there.
Yeah, well, here's to Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good movie. Did you like that movie? I liked that movie quite a bit.
I watched that on a flight. I also watched Bohemian. We're way off. Welcome to the Christmas show, by the way.
We're going to talk about Elton John and Queen.
Yeah. Well, and I watched the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, and I thought the actors did well.
Yeah.
But I thought the story and the editing and the directing were atrocious.
For the Queen movie.
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
It felt like I watched a 2-hour long music video, and I got a headache watching it on like the little screen on the plane. But I thought the Elton John movie was great.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked Bohemian Rhapsody very much, but my whole thing was I was very concerned about capturing Freddie and doing him justice. And Rami Malek did a great job. Yeah,
I thought all the actors were phenomenal. Yeah. I just thought the pacing of the story and the story they told and the editing is the thing that got me the most. It was like cut after cut after cut. It was just fast paced. It was frenetic. It was just like
my
2 hours of that's too much.
My partner on the weekly list, Daniel G. Moyer, he's a celebrity in Northfield. Yeah. He hardly ever is actually in Northfield.
Has he ever been to England?
You are a listener to the show, aren't you?
I am. I'm about to reference the show too in a minute here.
Okay. He is as big a Queen fan as you're ever going to find.
Sure.
And that you can say that about like two dozen artists with Dan. Yeah. But he hated that movie because it took a lot of artistic license, rearranged a lot of facts, put things out of historical sync.
It's a Queen story, not a Freddie story. That's the biggest thing.
Well,
right?
he hated it. Yeah. You've got albums being released before another album was released and like things like that. And it's he had the band breaking up, or they had the band breaking up for a while, and they actually never really did.
Hollywood drama.
Yeah, exactly. So
gotta have those peaks in those stories.
Anyway,
so you referenced the much loved, critically acclaimed weekly list here on
soon to be an international podcast hit. Yes.
Oh, good. Did you connect with Goran Lightfoot and he's going to take it back across the border with him or what?
We'll see.
So you have a segment. I'm not sure. I mean, I listen to a lot of the shows. I don't get to everyone. I've been awesome.
Well,
you,
you know, some of those shows are 2 hours long. It's tough to. Yeah,
I can relate. Is the haiku segment part of every show now, or is that just a once in a while?
It is. The haiku segment might be going away.
Okay.
But I it's only there because I enjoy it. And I've never heard anyone come up to me and say, "Oh man, I love your haikus." But yeah.
Well, I caught it on one of your shows and it inspired me.
Okay.
And I was driving home from work the other day, one of the rare days I had to go to my office, and was listening to Cool 108, and my mind just started going places, and I quickly, hands free, touched my phone to go to record and just started saying some haikus out loud.
Oh, is that right?
So I put all of like 4.5 minutes into these.
Should we wait for the middle of the show, and I'll even throw in a little Wendy Nordquist to introduce these haikus?
Well,
Corey's Haiku Corner?
No, I think that's okay, because what I did is I spread them out, one for each break. I have like eight of them.
Fantastic. I love this.
Yeah, so this is a surprise.
Okay.
I love this. This is me going off on my own. I'm just taking control here. But
Hang on. Time now for the Christmas on the Cannon Haiku Corner with your host, Haiku Corey.
Christmas time is here. Corey and Rich play music. Please be respectful.
This has been Haiku Corner with your host, Corey Haiku Corey, on 95.1 KYMN.
So I'm not a talented haikuist. I don't know what's it called, but a poet like you.
I'm not a talented haiku.
Oh, I listened to some. I think it was the Great Depression show I heard you. I thought they were phenomenal.
Oh, is that
right?
Did
really well on them. I will say some of these are not great. I think I'm proud of a few of them.
Oh, it should be.
And because this is an evening show, I'm keeping like any good entertainment show, the more mature ones come later in the show. So
exactly.
Stick around for those.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our favorite Canadian on tonight's show.
Christmas time.
Something about
is here.
I actually like, you know, 2 years ago, we played this song on the show, and I told you then that I had no memory of this song when it was out, when
can't
it came out
it.
And you couldn't believe it. And I went, and I kind of backtracked on it. I was, oh, maybe I do. I have no memory of this song at all.
Do you remember 2 years ago?
I do remember. Okay. Well, that's the thing, though.
It's been a long decade, so it's hard to know these days.
I really like this song.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me. And like, so like, it's one of those songs when it's, you know, May, right? And the song just sort of comes wandering in your head and you think, oh, mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear that at Christmas.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go out of your way to play Christmas Time by Bryan Adams on, you know, Memorial Day. Right.
Well, you know.
Unless we do
Memorial Day in the canon featuring Bryan Adams Christmas songs.
don't get us started. Anyway, so I was super happy to throw, and like, so when I put the list together, I couldn't wait. Let's get this right in there. I went and looked this up a little bit. This actually, he recorded this this song same time he was his career was like going crazy. He was what the heck was the name of that album? It's that Run. It had this song, the album with Run to You and Heaven. Anyway,
you're asking the wrong guy.
I can't believe it. It was Summer of 69's on that album. Yeah. It was the moment when Bryan Adams became superstar, international superstar Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams with a B.
Exactly. Do you know that Ryan Adams and Bryan Adams
born on the same day? I heard
have the same birthday. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard that in the studio before. It's a good factoid for all the other listeners.
It's just unfortunate that Ryan Adams has turned out to be such a schmuck. And we don't.
My only affiliation with him is Oasis giving him crud for decades now
because he covered
Wonderwall not so well.
Yeah. Anyway,
that one was for Dan.
I like Wonderwall. I don't necessarily like Ryan Adams version, but I like
Christmas show.
Getting back to Christmas. So about the same time that you were introducing me to the song, Bryan Adams made a video.
Yeah.
And it's a silly, goofy video. Mm-hmm. It's just basically there's an old Rolling Stones video it's only rock and roll, where they're just playing in a studio, and then like suddenly all these soap bubbles start coming into the studio, mm-hmm, and eventually Charlie Watts is buried in the soap bubbles and darn near drowned during the making. But that's kind of what's doing. There's all this fake snow.
It's an homage.
Falling on Bryan Adams, and eventually he's just buried in snow.
Yeah.
And the kids come up and make him into a snowman.
Snowman, yeah.
It's a fun Christmas video. Time by Bryan Adams. On right here on Christmas on the Canon on 95.1 KYMN, the one.
We waited all through the year for the day to appear when we could be together in harmony. You know,
we can keep the spirit me, boo, boo, pour me.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney when he came last year.
Poor Santa Claus.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. He won't come back, I fear. There he was in the middle of the chimney, roly-poly, fat and round. There he was in the middle of the chimney, not quite up and not quite down. Santa, please come back to my chimney, back to my chimney, back to my chimney. Santa, please come back to my chimney. You can come back here.
Please do,
'cause Daddy made a brand new chimney just for you this year. They should.
Why, just last Christmas Eve, she waited up for Santa to drop by.
But I nearly missed him, and here's the reason why. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney when he came last year.
Poor Santa Claus.
Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney, stuck in my chimney. Santa Claus got stuck in my chimney. He won't come back, I fear. There he was in the middle of the chimney, roly-poly, fat and round. There he was in the middle of the chimney, not quite up and not quite down. Santa, please come back to my chimney, back to my chimney, back to my chimney. Santa, please come back to my chimney. You can come back here, 'cause Daddy made a brand new chimney just for you this year.
Santa Claus, come on down the chimney, please come back this year.
That was the legendary Ella Fitzgerald with the also not quite so legendary, but incredibly famous and influential Ink Spots backing her up. That was Santa Claus Got Stuck in My Chimney. I love Ella Fitzgerald.
I'm a big Inkhead myself.
Ink Spots, Inkhead.
Yeah, well,
Inkhead.
That's what they called their fans back in the 40s.
Oh,
you didn't know that?
I thought they were the Inkies.
Them too.
Yeah. Those were the kids.
I'm just riffing here. What do I know?
Ink Spots were a super influential like doo-wop group. Like, there's the Penguins and the Five Satins and
get yourself some Muddy Waters. That's all I will ever say.
Get yourself some Muddy Waters. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. What was the name of that prof you had?
Gerard Aloisio. For anyone who's ever been to MSU taking a music class,
get yourself some Muddy Waters.
Best thing. I'll carry that for the rest of my days.
You know, honest to God, if
it's do yourself a favor, get some Muddy Waters.
If that's what passes for college level education in music, somebody should be giving me an honorary PhD, man. That could be, that's really fundamental stuff as far as I'm concerned.
We can get you a stipend of Jake's Pizza or something.
Okay. I'll take that. Absolutely. I'll take that. Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald is, she and Sarah Vaughan are from like the pre rock and roll era. Those two women are it for me. That's, I just love Ella. So thank you for putting little Ella in the,
it's hard to go wrong with Lady
in the Hopper this year.
Queen of Jazz, as it were.
Those are some fun lyrics, too.
Yeah, a little innuendo there, potentially.
I suspect that there was some snickering when they were talking about some of these things.
It's the Rod Serling approach of public consumption.
Yeah.
In terms of how you tell your story.
Exactly. You know?
Say one thing but mean another thing.
Right, right, exactly. Or you know, say one thing, and then if someone else has a different interpretation on it, just roll with that,
too. Pretty dumb.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The thing about that, though, is like, okay, so this was 1960, mm-hmm. right?
When, you thought that was late.
Which I absolutely thought that was late, because the Inkspots like had their heyday was the mid to late 40s. And Ella, really, her peak career was in the 50s. But 1960, I mean, it was still basically the 50s in 19, and which was a super wholesome, at least as it was presented to the rest of us, right? I wasn't there, so I can't tell you for sure. It was a very wholesome time, right? Right, you know, the time of Ozzy and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff. And I feel like there's a certain amount of that trying to creep back into society these days. Like, you look at the popularity of Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Right? Which I have not seen, but really want to see, right? And the first thing anyone tells me, well, second thing is, the first thing people tell me is that it's wonderful. It's fantastic, right? And the second thing is it's incredibly wholesome. There's just not a lot of, you know, edge to tell. And I feel, I was just having this conversation with someone else last night. There's something else. And boy, this is now compelling radio because I can't remember my second example.
Second point.
But I just feel like this is starting maybe. And it makes sense because society has now gotten so far off the rails, uh-huh. right? That it's taking something like, you know, Little House on the Prairie to put us back on the rails again.
Did you just compare Ted Lasso to Little House on the Prairie?
I think I did.
I don't think that's a ringing endorsement. I have several friends who tell me I need to watch Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Like Little House on the Prairie doesn't do
There that. Is absolutely nothing wrong with Little House on the Prairie, my friend. Nothing.
No, of course not.
Do not besmirch the Ingalls family.
So I've got a few thoughts on the wrap here.
Okay.
So your point about going back to that space, I thought it was going to be a rib against like octogenarians and saying,
oh,
remember how good the 50s were when the income tax rate was in the high 40% and people didn't have all the same rights as other people?
Oh, there's all that.
Which connects to Ella. I will come back to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Ted Lasso thing, I was talking to a friend about this last night. My wife and I, on November 20th, we're recording this a little early. It's Love Actually Day in our house.
Oh, sure.
5 weeks to Christmas.
Yeah.
So every year on November 20th, we watch that. And that's one of those movies I think people either love or they hate. And like 3 minutes into the viewing last night, it just dawned on me. I realize now why I think people hate this movie, because they don't appreciate British humor. Being an American, I've never, even though I know it's clearly a British movie, I never viewed it that way because it was such a huge movie in America. Maybe not in the box office initially, but it's got a huge following now. And I realized to the Ted Lasso thing, because my friend said, yeah, like, you'll like Ted Lasso. It's dry, it's wit, it's British humor.
Is it
and
really?
If you don't appreciate British humor, you're not going to enjoy something like Love Actually or maybe Ted Lasso.
That's interesting. I never really, I mean, it's very clearly a British movie because there's that whole, the one underplot about the kid who's going to go to America.
Yeah.
Right.
wait, it's very clearly a British movie because everyone speaks with a British accent.
Well, there's, and it's,
other than
it's,
Laura Linney.
And it is set in London.
In London, yes.
Yeah.
But it seems almost worldly because it's not focused on it,
but
British
humor. I don't think of it as British humor the same way I think of like Monty Python British humor. Monty Python is about as funny as it comes.
I know, but what else would be British? Blackadder, that would be like Monty Python? I mean, like, yeah.
Benny Hill.
They're in their own thing. Like, I just mean like general public consumption.
Sure.
British humor.
Yeah, okay.
Dry, you know, like the IT crowd and stuff like that.
Right.
Where it's like,
right. Kind of
layered.
Nerdy. Yeah.
Yeah. Layered jokes. Simple things like, you know, do you know how much, you know, when the mom says, do you know how much time I spent on building that octopus? It has so many legs. Like, to America, you know, a usual American humor. And this isn't like being condescending.
Right.
Like, that's not funny enough, right? But like, I have an appreciation for that because it's just doubling down on this most mundane comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, there was another point that I forgot, but I was going to bring up Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, for those of you who are not familiar with her work, and you should be, I mean, here is a shining example of someone who had to persevere. You know, she launched her music in the 30s, and you talked about how she peaked probably by the mid 50s. And,
yep.
You know, and she was still active, I think, into at least the 80s, if not 90s.
I remember her playing somewhere in the Twin Cities in the late 90s, shortly before she passed away. Yeah.
But she just has such an inspiring and sad story. You know, there's the famous story about think it was in Marilyn Monroe got her a seat at a club because they weren't going to let her play because she's black.
Right. And, and then Marilyn came and sat in the front row. Right. Of,
So anyway, if you're not familiar with her. And
Ella, if you're not familiar with Ella Fitzgerald, I feel sorry for you and run.
We might have some 12-year-olds listening to the show. You don't know.
Well, okay, you know what? Young young lady, young man, go. Yeah, do yourself a favor. We're giving you college-level advice here. Go get yourself some Ella Fitzgerald.
Can't pay you, though. Sorry.
Okay, so how far are we into the show now? It's
That's okay.
We're 36 minutes into the show, and we have our first mention by me of A Very Special Christmas from 1987.
Mark it down.
Which is, of course, my favorite Christmas album. Which came out when I was a freshman at St. Olaf College.
Only to be bested by Volume 2, right?
I know. No, they peaked at the beginning and never got right back to where they were. Yeah,
we don't talk about that.
I feel like we're closing in on having played the entire album on this show, but not this song because you have always resisted this.
Yeah, and before we hop into that, can I share my haiku for this segment?
Oh, God, of course.
Because I know you're going to want to send it off, obviously, to the song.
Wait. Time now for Haiku Corner, the Christmas on the Cannon Haiku Corner with your host, Haiku Corey.
This show is long enough. We don't need to do that every time. Okay. This one's a little off. I know rhyming's not usually part of haiku, but I went over the top of this one.
All right.
Kirstie McCall calls. Malls, halls, full stalls, dolls, red balls. Ray Conniff rules all.
That's terrifying. I don't know what you just did there, but that I had a visceral reaction to that haiku.
Well, good. I'm glad.
That's amazing.
As long as I get some kind of reaction.
Which is exactly what art is about. You just want, it doesn't matter if it's a positive or negative reaction, you just want something, right?
Kirstie McCall.
That was good.
Yeah, well, Kirstie the second McCall is all about consumerism, mall stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ray Conniff.
Ray Conniff. I don't know about that, but but you got Kirstie McCall in there, and we're going to talk about Kirstie McCall in a couple of weeks, but actually, probably next week. But anyway, this Christmas is Corey's favorite band next to Oasis. This is U2. I love U2. I'm an unapologetic fan of the band.
Are they your favorite band from across the pond?
No.
Just ask the Titanic. See, I listened to the show. Also, I'm in agreement with you.
It's not a pond. Yeah. Stop calling it a pond. It's not a pond. Ask the Titanic.
Yeah.
That's my. I'm going to copyright that.
They're unavailable.
Yeah,
U2. I'm conflicted. So I was never a big fan of U2.
Yeah.
But I have grown to appreciate them a little bit more the past few years.
Oh, you have.
In part because of the use of "With or Without You" in the season finale of The Americans, which is
a phenomenal
show.
Right. Have we ever talked about this?
No.
I loved that show, man. That was a great show.
I kind of want to go back and rewatch it.
Me too.
So, I love this song, and even a subpar version is still going to be good for me. Now, I say that to set this up, and I don't mind this song.
Yeah.
Or their version of the song. When I've heard it on the radio, when I've listened to it on Amazon, or you know whatever streaming service for this, I've enjoyed it. I made the mistake, though, of watching the video for this morning, and it nearly ruined it for me.
I don't know that I've actually ever seen the video for this song.
Don't.
Okay.
I mean, it's a black and white stage recording.
Yeah.
There's no audience, so clearly it's a setup. Bono's mugging the camera so hard.
And this was at their most annoying U2 era.
Yeah, like, he's got a ridiculous hat on.
This is right in between Joshua Tree and Rattle and Hum. Yeah.
And the outfits are awful.
Yeah.
It just seems so trite. And his face... it ruined it for me because vocally I feel like they play into what I consider the tone of the original piece. It's this agony, it's this desperation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think his vocals capture that fairly well.
Yeah.
But then you have this conflict with the visual in the video, and it ruins it.
So, all right.
I mean, do or don't watch it. I guess that's up to you, but the song itself, I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right. Well,
so you have my blessing.
I'll go with this. It's no Darlene Love.
Sure is not.
But it is still pretty darn good, I think, at least.
How do you think Letterman feels about this version?
It's no Darlene Love.
Yeah.
So this is from 1987 and the very special Christmas album. This is U2 with Christmas, Baby Please Come Home. A 95.1 KYMN.
This Christmas, baby, please come home.
I am sure there are those of you out there listening going, what the hell was that? That was... That
it was effed up.
It was a... that's okay, where to start with this? That was a benefit single in Canada in 2009, a cover of, obviously, not USA for now, Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas song, put together by a hardcore Canadian punk band whose name we cannot say on the radio. So we will just refer to them as Effed Up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Effed Up put that together. Now, the people who are working with Effed Up on that... sorry.
Careful now.
Ezra Koenig of Vampire Weekend. Yo La Tengo. David Cross, you're an Arrested Development fan, are you mm-hmm. not? Yeah, David Cross of Arrested Development and Mr. Show and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
Kevin Drew.
I just blew myself.
Wholesome. Anyway,
it's a Blue Man Group.
Yeah,
joke.
Yes, I know. I get it. Yeah, okay. Kevin Drew of Broken Social Scene. Tegan and Sarah, who is one of my daughter Sarah's favorites.
Never heard
Sarah.
Of
yeah, Tegan and Sarah. Her name is Sarah. She was going to get a cat and name it Tegan. So they would be...
Who's better, Tegan or Sarah?
Well, Sarah.
Asking the hard-hitting questions. Yeah. Also, who the hell are Tegan and Sarah?
Andrew WK. Uh-huh. Bob Mould, who... I don't know if you know who Bob Mould is, but Bob Mould was the guitar player in Husker Du and has gone on to like an amazing solo career and is something of an indie rock god.
Oh, good.
Kip Malone of a group called TV on the Radio, which is a very good band. And, of course, your favorite guy, Gizza.
From Wu-Tang Clan?
From Wu-Tang, yeah.
I had to think for a second.
Yeah.
The RZA, the Gizza.
Yeah, anyway, that was Gizza.
ODB? Method Man?
Now, proceeds from that single go to benefit three organizations. I didn't realize this.
You know why? Because it's Jizza. That's why I messed up.
Oh, is it really? Is it Jizza?
That's why I was like, yeah.
Is it? Okay,
the Jizza. You just dated yourself.
Well, not even dated myself.
Although they were kind of before my time.
Yeah, I thought, I always thought it was good. Okay, jizz up. There it is. Sorry,
now,
folks.
Now watch me be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's jizz up, though.
Anyway, there's a thing in Canada where, proceeds from the single go to benefit three organizations working to, I didn't realize this was a thing, publicize the high disappearance rate of Aboriginal women in Canada. I didn't know that was a thing, but this benefits three organizations: Justice for the Missing, Justice for the Missing and Murdered, Downtown Eastside Power of Women, and Sisters in Spirit. Which I didn't realize that was a thing, but my gosh, that's a problem. So you know, great.
I'm sorry. I want to follow that tale because I have a question about this benefit. Is this related to like the news that's come on last year with the Catholic schools and the missing Indigenous and I guess Aboriginal children?
No,
over decades.
No,
this is
no,
okay.
No. That is just a god awful story we're hearing about.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, but I don't think anyone even really knew that was a thing until they started, you know, exhuming these.
And
things.
Welcome
these
to people. Our uplifting Christmas show.
Okay, but here is like 50% of the reason I wanted to play this song mm-hmm. is because of this quote that I found, which I love. I mean, this is Bob Geldof was the man who, from the Boomtown Rats, who was what?
you'll know in a minute.
Okay. Bob Geldof was the man who, was inspired to put Band-Aid together. And from Band-Aid came Live Aid, which is like a moment that changed my life. Like made me the audio rock and roll historian person that I am now. And
was it about one man in jeans?
No. Okay. This is something I'd never seen this quote before, but he said this in 2010 to a London newspaper. And I love this. This is hilarious. I am responsible for two of the worst songs in history. One is Do They Know It's Christmas, and the other one is We Are the World. Any day soon, I will go to the supermarket, head to the meat counter, and do they know it's Christmas will be playing every bleeping Christmas. Bob Geldof.
I have much respect for him.
Yeah, I do too. I love Bob Geldof. Saint Bob, and just besmirching his own legacy.
So my first official comment,
yeah.
Even though I interrupted you a few times.
Yeah, that's right.
Is this needs more Boomtown Rats. That was legitimately my note I wrote down.
You're super funny that way.
I was saying before this played, it was earlier. I think it was after Christmas time, because I was during the break, I was talking about how I really appreciate that song for a lot of reasons, but one in particular is that I feel like, you know, Christmas music clearly is its own genre, and there's a bunch of subgenres below that. And rock music, I feel like, struggles to have like legitimate rock songs that are also Christmas songs.
That's
that
interesting.
And I think this is a perfect example of how I'm right, because this is not a great song. Like, it's got some moments where, like, okay, you catch yourself singing because it's just ubiquitous. It's everywhere, Bob's point. I don't enjoy this song, though. Whether it's this version, the original version, I just...
This was... I'll be honest that this song, the original version of that song, was sort of the awakening of my... you know, not like I'm some gigantic, charitable human being, but it's sort of the awakening of my social consciousness side of my brain.
I thought you had an affinity for Band-Aids, though. Trademarked.
I'm stuck on a Band-Aid because Band-Aid stuck on me.
There you go.
There it is.
All right, your charitable heart.
Anyway, so it's a soft spot in my heart for that. Yeah. But at the same
time, of course.
I really enjoy Bob Geldof's brutal honesty, and I love the take that effed up has on this song too. We're talking about British humor, right? Mm-hmm. In England, they would call that taking a piss.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. They're just taking a piss on the song, and that's all right.
It's tough to knock an effort that has altruistic values behind it. So of course, play it by all means. And we had talked about how this year, and it was my kind of approach, and it's always your approach, right? Obviously, is let's introduce people to different versions of even some of those better known songs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we're doing well with that on this show. We will do well with it in future shows.
You know what's super funny about that? We were just talking about my other show, The Weekly List.
Yeah.
That is absolutely not my approach on The Weekly List, but on this one it is.
Those are all the hits.
Yeah.
All hits all day.
Kind of. I leave it in your head. I leave it to my partner to pull the weird stuff out. Anyway.
All right. Let's move on from effed up, because we have a palate cleanser in need here.
Time now for... The haiku thing,
thank you. Gene, Burl, and Bing. Ho, ho, ho. Who would not go? Let us play them all.
All right, yeah. Gene, Burl, and Bing.
Yeah, although I don't think we have any
like
of them on the show.
The three wise men of Christmas.
Yeah, I almost threw Frank in there.
Yeah.
He's got such a career outside. Well, they all do, but
Gene, Burl, and Bing went to the manger to see the chairman.
Yeah. So who would not go? Well, let's just play them all.
Let's just play them all. Yeah.
Although none of them are on today's show.
But they'll make an appearance.
Although, to our earlier point about differentiating the music and trying to bring some new things to the table, you had mentioned before we started recording, like, we don't have Bing in this year's set list. We have one.
Yeah, and it's an important one.
It is. I would say so. So anyway, there's the haiku.
All right, cool. All right. So next up, speaking of contemporary stuff, this is an album that just came out this year.
This month.
This month even. Yeah, it's somebody that we, not discovered, because I've known about Amanda Shires for a long time, as of you. But Amanda Shires, who is a great sort of alt country figure and a wonderful musician, multi-talented musician, has just put out this Christmas album, and that's all I got so far.
She's a great representative of Nashville. Does a lot of great music. Makes a lot of music with herself, with her husband, who some people may know, Jason Isbell.
Her husband is the finest working songwriter under the age of 50 in the world.
Yeah, I always struggle with how to loop that in without like moving credit to him, because she's a fantastic artist. But it's always interesting, you know. You want to know if people are
right,
you know, married or related,
right?
Or
well, that's all
like
we're
that,
gonna say so. About him, though. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah, that's all I'm gonna
say. This is all about her.
But she was also, I believe, the driving force behind the High Women.
Well, her and Brandi Carlile.
High Women, excuse me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the genesis was with Amanda, and then Brandi.
Oh, is that right?
Between the two of them, and then brought in Natalie Hemby and then Maren Morris.
Yeah.
So they released their album a couple of years ago, and it was a phenomenal album. Grammy award winning.
Yeah. I guess fortunately for me, my biggest disappointment, a lot of people had a lot more problems with the pandemic, have had a lot more problems with COVID than I have.
Yeah.
My biggest disappointment with the pandemic was I had tickets to go to a show at Wrigley Field on my wedding anniversary That was Chris Stapleton, Jason Isbell, The High Women, and Mike Campbell's band.
Awful lineup.
Just terrible. Right. Mike Campbell's band, The Dirty Knobs. And that show got canceled. So anyway.
Well, and when was that show scheduled for?
August 29th, 2020.
I had a show, and I know I've shared this with you before. March 13th, 2020.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go see the Lumineers at the XL Energy Center.
Yeah.
Remember when things shut down?
March 13th.
Yeah. 2020. Yeah. And I remember that week just kind of seeing if they were still airing, you know, still doing their shows. And I think they're in Indianapolis either the night before or two nights before. And I was like, will it, won't it? If they do, should we? Kind of thing. Because everyone was just like, what's going on? Yeah. And like, you could see numbers at that point. And like, it wasn't really here quite yet. Like, it was starting to.
Right.
But it was still pretty okay.
It was picking up some steam.
Yeah. But that got nixed and. I'm all the sadder for it.
We're the Lumineers.
One day.
So they hadn't even made it to town when everything got shut down.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Didn't matter because I didn't get to go.
Anyway. And then, remember, it was
going to get postponed till the fall.
Right.
So Ticketmaster's like, hold on to those tickets. And then it got to October. I'm like, just give my money back.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of, I mean, they did reschedule that show. Which I still don't know if actually it I think it's going to happen next summer now, but Jason Isbell has pulled out of the show and Mavis Staples, whom I also love is good, but we're not going to go because anyway. I want to make the quick point. Like if that's the biggest issue that we have had with the pandemic, we are incredibly fortunate people. Yes.
And I speak to that all the time in my personal life. Incredibly fortunate over the last 20 months.
Yes.
And my heart breaks for those who aren't.
So. Indeed.
Real quick, Amanda's new album, awesome. Go check it out. Yeah. There's a lot of good songs, most of them original. She does a couple kind of covers. One is kind of like a different take on Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of my favorite songs off the new album, which I've listened to a couple times.
Really good.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to listen through
it? I haven't heard the whole album yet, but I've listened to about half of it. What I've heard is just phenomenal.
Yeah, so this is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So from November of 2021, this is Amanda Shires with Come Home to Me, a 95.1 KYMN Christmas.
You said there's eyes on the runway. On the wings, there's ice everywhere, so nothing can bring you home to me. Should come home to me, home to me, home to me. Please come home, come home. The moon and keeping my own company. Tired of the dark and a night full of brittle stars. Come home to me, home to me, home to me. And if you'll ever
So December is a stranger. I walk like I just lost the keys to this city. As a sailor, I've sent postcards round the world, but the picture tonight wasn't pretty. I walked in the shadows of haunted hotels like a miner trapped in a cavern. Well, I looked to the east and a star had shone down, and it led me right to Molly's Tavern. So I followed the footprints made in the snow by Salvation Army musicians. I got in line and I stood right behind a tap dancer and two blind magicians. You would have thought I had been there before as Molly stood there to greet me. 80 years old with a gleam in her eye, said you're expected and proceeded to see me. Come all ye low-down around earth, lift up your low-down ways. Pass the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost I walked around and the harp player asked if I would like to request a selection. I smiled and I asked for God Bless the Child, and for him I took up a collection. I spotted a man with a white beard and red, from a distance looked just like Kris Kringle. As he went to the roof, oh, I thought I heard hoofs, and I swear I heard sleigh bells a jingle. We waltzed on a dance floor made out of glass. Between dances we sang Christmas carols. Then we lit candles, had a moment of silence. The bartender read F. Scott Fitzgerald. Molly said first we must give to receive. We put our trinkets into a kitty. In went my compass and my grandfather's watch, and I pulled out the key to the city. Come all ye low-down arounders, lift up your low-down ways. Pass the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost Christmas Day. And so I guess if there's a lesson I've learned, it is one that will keep me from danger. Sometimes you get lost just so you will be found and return the kindness to strangers. I explained how I felt as I kissed Molly's hand like a miner freed from a cavern. Merry Christmas, baby, is what she said to me, but it's like this each night in my tavern. So I sail on the oceans and stare at the sky, and it seems like the whole world's on fire. And I just wanna make angel wings in the snow and sing this song in that midnight choir. Come all ye low-down arounders, lift up your low-down ways. Pass the malt and the mistletoe, it's almost It's almost Christmas Day. It's almost Christmas Day. It's almost Christmas Day.
Oh, if you folks could only hear the conversations that happen in between while we're playing the music. That was our dear friend, because he is a friend of the show, Paul Metza.
Yes.
That's another one of those songs. I have fallen in love with that song. That was Christmas at Molly's by Paul Metza.
Beautiful song.
Another song that I could not wait to get on the show. So, and I just, you know, if nothing else, I like to talk about the fact that I got to talk to Paul Metza about that show, about that song last year. I just going to tell the story real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I think it just speaks to Paul Metza. I have 3,000 some Facebook friends. I'm like the last guy left.
Okay, Sid Hartman.
Exactly.
They're all close. And
they're all close personal friends of mine. Paul Metza is one of my Facebook friends. We were putting the show together last year, and I just kind of thought, you know, I don't know exactly what this song is about. It's a great story. I don't know exactly what the song is about. So I messengered, DM'd, whatever, on Facebook. I Facebooked Paul Metza.
Slid into his DMs
and said, hey, I'm doing the show, and we're going to play Christmas at Molly's. Is there a story behind that you'd want to tell me? And I expected him to, you know, maybe hopefully, like, write me a little paragraph back or something, explain what it was. And he's like, hey, when you want to talk about it? And I thought, well, okay. And I just said, do you have time tonight? And he's like, yeah, call me in half an hour. So I came over here to the studio, and we recorded, and I'd asked him for 10 minutes, and this being Paul Metza, I got a solid 45-minute conversation from him, and it was great. He explained that this was a song that was about a bar called Molly's Tavern in Superior, Wisconsin, which actually turns out, he didn't know for a long time, was a gay bar. And
doesn't sound like he had been there.
Exactly. But it was like one of the few places that was open on Christmas when he was up there 1 year. And if you want to, you can actually hear the conversation we had. It's available on the Weekly List podcast. The Weekly List presents a conversation with Paul Metza.
And where can one find that?
One can find that on Apple Music. One can find that on Spotify. Tune in. We have cleared the tune in nice. Protocols now. So Google Play, all pretty much wherever you get a podcast.
Can I download it to my Zune from Winamp?
Sure.
Just puzzled. Do you know the words I just said? I mean, you know a Winamp.
I know what a Zune is, but
that was the old Microsoft.
Yeah.
Counterpart to the iPod.
Yeah, exactly.
Winamp, you know Winamp.
Winamp, I don't remember.
Like turn of the century player.
I've seen the word, but I have no idea what a Winamp is.
That used to be like the standard music player. Like
oh, is that right?
2000, yeah.
Okay, well.
And then it was really cool because you could bring in all these skins and just make it personalized.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
okay.
Of the right age.
Yeah, well, and you're
probably still listening to 8-tracks then.
Maybe. Maybe entirely possible.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so that was Paul Metza with Christmas at Molly's. A song, by the way, that he wrote. I get a kick out of this, too, because I'm from, I grew up in Edina, right? He was asked to contribute a Christmas song to an album that was going to commemorate the 40th or 50th anniversary of Southdale. And he came up with Christmas at Molly's. It's pretty
monumental.
Good.
Yeah. Celebration.
Well, Southdale is the very first ever enclosed
indoor mall.
Shopping mall in the world. So.
Killing mall rats there.
Yeah. Okay.
And now nobody probably goes, well, I'm sure Southdale's doing okay, but.
You are not a fan of Southdale. I am not a huge fan of Brenda Lee.
Let's step back.
Okay.
I'm fine with Southdale.
Oh, okay. Actually.
No. Well, not for that reason. I have to defend the mall.
Okay.
I mean, I think malls in general are gross, but I also grew up in a time where they were, I would probably say, in their decline. I mean, they were still popular in the 90s, but like, it never made sense for me other than convenience because everything was like 30% more expensive than like other places. But you got the arcade, you got the cafeteria.
It was social.
It was totally. Yeah.
Totally about being social.
Yeah. Hey, those.
I grew up in the 80s, man. That was malls were.
Those 15 years between us. Doesn't matter in a lot of ways. It definitely does when it comes to mall perspective.
I guess.
Like Mall of America, no thank you. I'm good without that. Like, and I grew up, I was a kid when that popped up, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then you go there after a while, it's like, yeah.
It's a big mall.
It's a big place.
Yeah.
Just bring me to Target Greatland, which okay. I don't know if any of those are around anymore.
But. Actually, I do most of my shopping now on Amazon, so.
Boo hiss, right?
Yeah, whatever. Jeff Bezos. I'm one of the people.
Hey, he's not involved anymore.
I'm one of the people who sent Jeff Bezos into space.
Unfortunately, he didn't stay there.
Unfortunately.
Okay, haiku
anyway,
time.
Okay, time now for the haiku.
Hark, reindeer droppings. Carrots, milk, sugar cookies. Who sat on my hat?
That was Corey, Haiku Corey with Haiku Corner.
Just see the mouse wheel spinning, like contemplating what I just said.
Who said the cat? That's what I wanted to say. The cat.
Santa wants to know who sat on his hat.
Yeah, who sat on his hat? Okay.
Hark, reindeer. They're on top of a house. Yeah. There's carrots and cookies and milk.
Yeah.
And he comes back. He's like, who sat on my hat? Okay. I told you, you're the one that does this, not me. Are you still thinking this was a good idea?
I applaud every attempt. I think fantastic. All and, you know, I'm sure there's somebody out there that really thinks that's a good haiku.
I literally wrote 8 of these in like 4 minutes,
dude,
driving on I-35.
You get on a roll with haikus.
Really, you do.
It is not hard to, mm-hmm. I mean, in 20 minutes, I can pump out 6.
I had to stop because I'm like, okay, I've got way too many and I'm not going to want
it. Exactly.
I don't like any of them enough to say, okay, these ones are better. I should hold those. So I just stopped at 8 and said, yeah, we'll make those work.
Not a big fan of Brenda Lee because.
You like children?
I hate.
Rocking
Around the Christmas Tree and Jingle Bell Rock.
She was only 14.
Yeah,
when Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah,
came.
Which
and her
is voice.
I mean, obviously 9 to 14 is a big difference.
It's
in
a jump,
life,
but yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, how would you know it's the same person?
Yeah. It's a thing. Anyway.
So, I'm gonna lasso Santa Claus. I'll talk about this one. Hey. Came out in 1964 when Brenda was 9 years old.
A nice, another wholesome piece of Christmas music.
Yeah. I mean, there's the story based on the title alone, but if you actually listen to the song and listen to the lyrics, I mean, she's talking about the reason she wants to lasso Santa Claus is to take gifts for kids who don't get gifts.
Right. You know, I did listen to that. You're right. And it's because some moms and, well, can we talk about this or not?
I mean, it is a little mixed messaging because it's a song clearly directed toward children. So it's talking about Santa not bringing kids. So then it's not clear. Of course, it's a song, so you can't tell everything. But is it because those kids are naughty and they're not getting gifts? Or is that Santa doesn't go to every kid's house for
Santa doesn't always visit the poverty-stricken?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a nice message. I ask you why that happens, but it's representative of the real world, right?
That's true.
And this
That's
is
true.
57 years ago.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, and a 9-year-old saying this, I thought it's pretty progressive for the
60s. It is, actually.
One quick note, other than Rocking Around the Christmas Tree and your utter disdain for a 9-year-old. I found this interesting. Well, two things. One, Brenda's still alive.
Yes, she is.
76 years old. But the other thing was, you know, she performed rockabilly and pop and country. Mm-hmm. She had 47 U.S. chart hits during the 1960s.
I hope she actually made some money doing
that. I hope so, too. She's ranked 4th in the decade. I'll take a stab at the 3 who came before her.
The Beatles.
Yes.
Something from Motown, maybe the
he was signed with Atlantic Southern.
Okay.
Motown-ish with
that would be Stax, actually. Or no, actually Atlantic was different from Stax, but who? Okay, I got the Beatles, the Rolling Stones.
No.
Jimi Hendrix.
They're two individuals.
Not Eric Clapton. God, don't get me started about Eric Clapton right now.
I'm a heaven of blue.
Oh, of course. But see, you don't think about Elvis in the 60s.
No, you
because
don't.
He, but his
it's like 50s and 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
He did quite well for himself in the 60s.
He had because of all those movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so the Beatles, Elvis, Brenda Lee, and somebody from Atlantic?
I think so. I mean, I'm failing Professor Aloysio.
Ray Charles.
Right now. Yes.
Okay.
Was that Atlantic?
Yeah, he was Atlantic. He jumped from Atlantic to Columbia sometime in the
60s. Yeah, because they were both Southern, right?
No, Columbia was actually
LA?
Based in New York.
New York, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I am failing Aloysio.
That's all
but
right.
I'm glad I got Atlantic, though.
Yeah, I'm glad I got Ray Charles. I would have been really bummed out if you had told me Ray Charles and
I didn't want to say, what song did you lose for decades that I found? Because that was too obvious.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to start saying non-Christmas songs either, because I got a woman, you know, like...
Yeah.
Anyway, those three. So that's pretty good company.
Beatles,
for Brenda
Elvis,
to be in.
Ray Charles, and Brenda Lee.
Brenda
not
Lee.
Bad.
I mean, it's exactly how you think it'd play out.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm with you. Like, no Smokey, no Temptations,
right,
no Supremes,
right.
no Marvin.
Four Tops.
Four Tops. Well, did they have that many hits though? Like, I'm not a huge.
Yeah, they,
I love Motown,
had,
but Four Tops don't do much for
but
me.
But they had three like cornerstone hits. You know, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
That's three, not 47.
I'll be there. I suppose.
I mean, these are just charting, so they're not like top hits. But
yeah.
And that's of course an era where they were releasing a song every week.
Yeah.
So
2021, my biggest disappointment of 2021 was going to Detroit and visiting, going to visit the Motown Museum. Drought in every part of the country, except in Detroit, where there had been so much rain that the Motown Museum had flooded and was not open. It just,
so you're gonna go back, right?
I'd like to.
You have to.
I'd like to. I fell in love with Comerica Park. On that trip too. So
could we do like, let's talk to Jeff so we can get some expenses paid. We could do like Motown on the Cannon.
I'm all in on that, man.
I'm sure Jeff is too. We could drive. And I'll save some money.
It's a long drive. It's like 10, 11 hours, something like that.
But we're two guys.
Yes, I suppose.
Divide by two, we can do it.
I suppose. If anyone out there in Michigan wants to put us up for a while.
That's the key. Getting there is not an issue. It's the lodging that's
exactly.
Get
so,
you
up, so. It, for all, you know, three of you listening in Michigan. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Your favorite song of the set list.
Yeah.
Playlist, set list, what do we call this thing? I don't know.
It's a list.
You're the music guy.
I don't know. It's both. It's a set list. It's a playlist. It's whatever you want it to be. This is Brenda Lee from 1960 what?
Four.
1964 with I'm Gonna Lasso Santa Claus. 95.1.
I'm gonna pull, pull, pull on his beard, pull, pull, and see if it's real. I'm gonna tick, tick, tickle him on the tummy, because he laughs so funny. He's so jolly and so fine when he comes around Christmas time. I'm gonna lasso Santa Claus, and the reason is because I know a boy and girl he never goes see. He never brings them toys like he does to me. I'm gonna pop, pop Santa Claus with my water pistol gun. Bang, bang, and then I'll take his bags of toys and run and bring to all the kids who don't have none. I'm gonna pull, pull, pull on his beard, pull, pull, and see if it's real. I'm gonna tick, tick, tickle him on the tummy, because he laughs so funny. He's so jolly and so fine when he comes around Christmas time. I'm gonna lasso Santa Claus, and the reason is because I know a boy and girl he never goes see. Brings him toys like he does to me. I'm gonna pop, pop Santa Claus with my water pistol gun. Squirt, squirt, and then I'll take his bags of toys and run and bring to all the kids who don't have none. Sitting down there at the old folks' home, crooning white Christmas. I got 300 songs about Santa Claus under my fingers. Then down to the Crown Hotel, played till our heads hurt like hell. I'm asking myself, who am I supposed to be? But there's always somewhere to go. You're never gonna be lonely under the mistletoe. I thought I could be your man, but I'm just a piano man.
at Christmas. There's always a new place to go to, just no one to go with. When I strike up with old Nat King Cole, I'm the hero till morning. Well, they rock around the tree. I can't shake, I feel so empty. I'm asking myself, so who am I supposed to be? But there's always somewhere to go. You're never gonna be lonely under the mistletoe. I thought I could be your man, but I'm just a piano man. Well, I've always been a loner with some songs in my back pocket and a million borrowed my brides couldn't bring me any solace. Will someone come and tell me, who am I supposed to be? I'm just trying to find my way through. Don't care about a savior, just wanna hold on to you. I thought I could be your man. I'm just a piano man. I'm always the piano man at Christmas.
That's a guy named Jamie Cullum with The Piano Man at Christmas. Jamie Cullum had a minor hit in the United States of America in 2003 with a song called All at Sea, which you might be familiar with. I really like that song. Jamie Cullum is a much bigger star in his native UK. He's actually the best-selling jazz musician in the history of the United Kingdom. Best-selling jazz musician in the United Kingdom, and he does he's considered a sort of a jazz pop crossover kind of guy, and he does for 11 years he's done a show on a Tuesday night jazz show on BBC Two, and he's a big star over there, and he just put out a Christmas album last year, and that was The Piano Man at Christmas.
It was really good. I thought you were gonna go baseball route on that, where it was gonna be like a really obscure fact, like, he's the best-selling jazz artist born after 1980 who has two eyes and a nose piercing. But he stopped.
Well, how about this? His wife is the granddaughter of Roald Dahl,
who
wrote James and the Giant Peach and the man who created Willy. He wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, so he's the man who created Willy Wonka.
BFG.
That's his wife, his grandfather-in-law.
But that was a fun upbringing.
Yeah, it must have been interesting, for sure.
So, I didn't know Jamie. I didn't, what was it, All at Sea?
All at Sea. Look into it. It's a good song.
I will. I'm not familiar, but I enjoyed his voice.
I love it. It's very melancholy.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I picked that up from this song, if that's his usual tone.
Yeah.
It was pleasant. I liked it, and I saw this was a recent release. I think you said that last year. So,
yep.
I maybe went too introspectively on this, but he had a line in there about, who am I supposed to be?
Right.
And I mean, I think it was meant to be a layered song about the piano man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then in reading about him this morning, I came across like his, it's funny that you mentioned his wife's grandfather, because I was reading about his parents and grandparents. I'm just going to share this.
There's some, they had some harrowing times.
Yeah.
His
so,
family did.
Yeah, and I'll share that. So, when am I right? Okay. Oh, so I wrote clearly about the character in the song, but I couldn't help think of him when reading about his family. His Jewish father, whose mother had managed to flee Nazi Germany, was born in Jerusalem. His mother, whose father was Indian and mother Burmese, was born in Burma. When the Japanese invaded, the family left Burma and moved to Wales with his mother at age 5. So, and here's this guy, successful artist,
yep,
has this varied background, but he just chilling in the UK, being yep a jazz artist.
Yeah.
I mean, life is full of happy and sad coincidences right that bring us together. And I'm always been the mind of like life is circumstantial.
Sure.
You know, some people think it's predetermined. I think that would be boring. So I like to think things happen and then more things happen. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But right, just think about the number of events that had to happen for his grandparents to make those moves. And then eventually for his parents, who I'm assuming grew up in Wales and Jerusalem,
yep, yep,
to find each other.
Right.
And then give birth to Mr. Jamie Cullum.
Right.
And now here he is, you know, here we are, 2021, talking about a song in Minnesota.
Best-selling jazz artist in the United Kingdom.
And that's just, I find that just inspiring about
yeah
life.
Yeah.
Like, you never know. And there's probably as many stories that go the other way that are sad, right? Well,
but I tend to agree with you about life being circumstantial. I do believe that in balance and, mm-hmm, and karma and things like that.
Sure.
And I also believe that we don't really know how the universe completely works.
No.
In fact, we don't even have a clue
how the universe works. It'd be arrogant for any of us to think we do.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'll leave it at that.
So, but I mean, there's balance in that. I mean, his grandparents had this, and parents just had this amazingly horrific childhood, and now they've got best-selling jazz.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Jamie Cullum's a really talented guy too.
Haiku hour.
Time now for Corey Butler, Haiku Corey, and all that stuff.
I'm a little concerned because you weren't a fan of the last couple, and this one's a little more out there.
But okay, let's
the
go.
Second line in particular might be confusing, but I'm pulling a deep Shakespeare reference.
I'm all in.
Be open-minded.
Okay. All right.
Creamy or thick, fine. 2 egg or not 2. 3 eggs. Just pass the brandy.
Exactly. That's it right there. Right. 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 Eggnog. You got to have the eggnog.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and however you want to do it. Right. But spike it. You like brandy. I like bourbon in my eggnog.
Well, you know what? Same syllables. I should go with bourbon because I like bourbon too. But brandy came to mind first.
That's fine. You know,
it had the Shakespeare reference. 2 egg or not 2.
Three eggs. That will make
our
Wisconsin listeners feel a little bit more welcome.
There you go.
So there it is.
The brandy man hand.
There it is. Brandy man. Tell me about this next song, Christmas Valentine.
So in preparing for this year, I was, trying to go out the usual box. And this is a more recent song. Perhaps the most modern saccharine song we're going to play. I mean, we've had some old 60s pieces on the show that were, you know, bubbly sweet and all that stuff.
This song made me think of, and boy, total tangent here. I have finally seen The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. Yeah.
And what did you think?
I thought it was a fine movie.
Wait, hold on. Can I ask when you watched it?
I watched it, I think the night before Halloween.
Okay.
Okay. I thought it was a fine movie. It shocked me that movie is almost 30 years old.
Mm, yeah.
And what I thought was I didn't feel like in pop culture I had been missing anything for the last 27 years. But it was a fine movie.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, it's grown in popularity over the years like many things do. Mm-hmm. So you go to Menards or whatever and you're going to see the memorabilia and like the, you know, outdoor blow-up decorations and such. So but, you know, part of that's just consumerism and them trying to push things. And enough people know about it, they'll buy it. So it works out in the end.
Right.
But I asked what time you watched it, because it's the eternal debate. Is it a Halloween movie or Christmas movie?
Yeah.
So in our household, we have settled on it being a bridge, which is the intent of it. So it's our first movie we watch after Halloween.
Sure.
Before we can dip into Christmas stuff.
And before you get to Love Actually Day.
Oh, well, there was like almost 3 weeks between that, so there's plenty to watch.
Okay.
And I'll get to this a little bit later, too.
But the song made me think of that because is this a Valentine's Day song? Is this a Christmas song?
Good point. Yeah. And I don't know if you looked into this at all. So Tim Burton, his name's all over it. He just produced it. He didn't direct it. A lot of people think he directed the movie.
Right.
But it's based on a short story he wrote in the early 80s about this weird transition between Halloween and Christmas, which we've all seen.
Yeah.
Take place over the last 40 years, and this was in the early 80s, And I'm assuming it happened even before then, but it's probably gotten worse year by year about, okay, I mean, I still have our pumpkins on our front step.
Yeah.
But we have our Thanksgiving stuff out. I have my garden flag and I have our little turkey in the window. I have three houses on my street, like my immediate neighbors that put their Christmas lights up like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not shaming them. It's just, it's funny how everyone has a different timeline.
I have neighbors that take down their Halloween decorations and put their Christmas lights up on the same day.
Yeah.
And you look at movie theaters, right? Mm-hmm. And you get that, there's a weird overlap because they put out the horror movies just before Halloween, right? But they'll stay in the theaters for a while afterwards, and so the Christmas movies start creeping in November, and like there's an overlap. You can go see, the Grinch, or you can go see Halloween.
Yeah.
Or you can go see both in the same day.
Or you can go see Black Christmas and just knock them both out.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm someone who listens to Christmas music early, but I try not to watch movies or TV shows, or at least favorites that are regular. Again, I'll get to this later, but I'm glad you checked it out.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, my kids enjoy it, so we watch it every year now. Right. And, we watch a lot of things because there's things. I shouldn't say force them. They enjoy a lot of the
You're a good dad, though. You're super engaged with your kids, and you're trying to give them some tradition and stuff. I love that.
Tradition, that's the right word for it.
I have exactly one holiday tradition with my daughters. But it's a great one, and it's been ongoing for 20 years, and we sort of made do with it last year, but we're reviving it again this year. It's great. Anyway.
So this song, there's a little conflict, but I think it's a sweet song. It's from Ingrid Michaelson and Jason Mraz, who I grew up as a big fan of. I know he's not for everybody, but his first couple albums I really enjoyed, but I was the right age.
I've actually seen Jason Mraz 3 times.
Oh, really?
And it's every time he's been
selling pickles.
Every time he has been opening up for somebody else. So I've seen him open up for Billy Joel twice, and I saw him open up for Dave Matthews once.
I mean, that's not a bad group to be opening for.
No, he's like it. You know, it's weird. I'd never seen Billy Joel had never had an opening act, and I've seen Billy Joel at least 25 times.
Oh, right?
And it's just the last couple of times I saw him that Jason Mraz was open up for him. Anyway, and it works because Mraz's music sort of fits into what Billy does. But anyway,
but I think a lot of people have thought he probably fade away, but he comes out every few years with a song that resonates and does well. And his star was really early mid 2000s of that first and second album,
right?
Waiting for My Rocket to Come. That first album just blew up, and
right,
I remember being a senior listening to that thing constantly. Yeah. And then the second album came out, and it was good.
He's fine. He doesn't do a whole lot. I actually really like this song,
but good for him for getting it because he's been on Broadway. He was in Waitress, I think.
Was he really?
Sarah Bareilles.
Sarah Bareilles wrote that. Yeah, yeah. Or wrote the music for that, at least. Yeah.
So I think they started it together. He was on Broadway for a while.
Interesting.
I mean, and you know his backstory, right?
I don't.
San Diego guy, but he was in Minnesota for a time. He sold pickles at the Renaissance Festival.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wonder if I ever bought a pickle from him.
You may have. I think he only did it for once or twice, one or 2 years, but somehow that's become part of his lore, because I don't know if that's because of the Penn and Teller thing. So people are like, oh, wait, look, we got another celebrity.
I go to the Renaissance Festival once every 15 years. So, yeah.
Well, be nice to the next pickle guy.
Indeed.
Because you never know.
I'm always nice to the pickle guys, man. I'm always nice to everybody.
Real quick. So, again, was watching videos for some of these. And the video for this is kind of fun. It's like a Rankin Bass inspired thing with stop motion.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's obviously more modern. But, right. So if you're looking for a fun, it's kind of interesting. Real quick note. you talked about the Bryan Adams song a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Well, at the top of the show. There's a lot of these videos coming back with like new, well, this is a new song, obviously. Yeah. But like, I saw a lot of Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and a couple other artists that had like animated videos come out last year or two.
Interesting.
And I don't know if they're looking for just additional videos to create revenue.
Speaking of Billy Joel, they just made an animated video for Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. I mean,
so I don't know if that's like a new thing. I mean, obviously YouTube generates a lot of revenue, a lot of views. I just found it interesting that it was Christmas specific. And maybe it goes beyond that, but like,
I think it does. But
I think the Beatles had one recently. Like, it's just obviously, especially for these artists who are no longer with us, it's one way to just, you've already watched this original lyrics video or whatever 300 million times.
Yeah.
Well, here's a new animated version that you can watch for 50 million times.
So. Right. Just speaking of Sinatra, I want to give a shout out to Nancy Sinatra, mm-hmm. who follows the weekly list and has listened. We've heard from Nancy Sinatra.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
How do you, like, she reached out to you?
I don't know. Well, I tweeted at her and she tweeted back, but after she had followed the weekly list on Twitter, she tweeted back and
That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Anyway, so Ms. Sinatra, if you're listening, Merry Christmas. All right. Anyway, this is Eliza Gilkison and...
Who
is this?
Ingrid Michaels.
Ingrid Michaels. I've been thinking about that.
Is that
all
a real
week.
Name you just said?
Eliza Gilkison. Yeah, she's more of a folk singer.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jason Mraz and Ingrid Michaelson with Christmas Valentine.
Right outside my window, all the snow is coming down. The Brooklyn Bridge is blanketed. It's quiet all around. The city lights are blinking bright, just like a Christmas tree that I remember from old December.
I've got my favorite jacket on, there's snowflakes in the air. We made a reservation, but we'll never make it there.
The fire's still inviting, there's nowhere I'd rather be. There's something about you that I'm getting used to. Baby, just be mine, a kind of sort of Christmas Valentine.
You and I feel like a very merry February. Baby, just be mine. Just say you'll be my Christmas Valentine. I wanna make it every day a holiday with you.
It doesn't matter, rain or shine, in summer or in fall. Are in bloom or nothing is at all.
Cause love, it has no calendar, it's always evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make another reason to love the season. Baby, just be mine, a kind of sort of Christmas Valentine. You're making every day with you and I feel like a merry, merry
Christmas is children who just can't go to sleep. Christmas is memories, the kind you always keep. Deck the halls and give a cheer for all the things that Christmas is each year. Christmas is carols to warm you in the snow. Christmas is bedtime when no one wants to go. Tinsel right, so glad to know that Christmas is tonight. Merry Christmas, baby.
Christmas is carols to warm you in the snow. Christmas is bedtime when no one wants to go. All the world is tinsel bright. So glad to know that Christmas is tonight. Christmas. Merry Christmas. When all your wishes come true. Ooh, Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, baby. I hope you get a whole lot of good presents and a lot of toys to play with, baby. Merry Christmas.
Okay, this happens sometimes. I when I'm doing a show, I forget to push record, and so now you guys just missed about 7 minutes of just really compelling radio. That
was fantastic, award winning, and we're going to do it in 2.5 minutes.
This is take two, and take two tends to be shorter. That was the great Lou Rawls with "Christmas Is." Lou Rawls, who has just one of my favorite voices. You don't really know Lou Rawls' career arc, though, do
no,
you?
No, not really. No.
Because
I still don't.
Yes, even though we talked about this 10 minutes ago. Lou Rawls grew up on the south side of Chicago with Sam Cooke.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes, I know who he is.
Are you aware of Sam Cooke? Do you know Sam Cooke?
The audience missed out the good conversation.
You are younger than I am. I don't know what the kids like anymore.
The kids.
So, yeah.
But you were a kid, too, once.
Yeah.
And Mr. Cooke was.
Yeah, I grew up in a wonderful time called the 80s. You grew up in a very confusing time called the 90s.
Yeah, very wonderful time.
A very confusing time.
Hey.
Okay.
The 90s are good.
Yeah, Bill Clinton made the 90s very confusing.
He did wonders for the cigar business.
And the dry cleaning business. Or actually, he hurt the dry cleaning business very much.
This was not part of the earlier segment we recorded.
We're going. I hope this is. I hope this is later in the night, because now we're getting blue. Lou Rawls was the guy who was always stepping into Sam Cooke's role in whatever group Sam Cooke was leaving. Kind of like you work your way up the minors in baseball, mm-hmm. And that's what Sam Cooke was doing, and Lou Rawls was right behind him. And I just found out not that long ago, the song "Bring It On Home to Me" is Sam Cooke, obviously, and Lou Rawls singing all the harmonies underneath him. And it's basically cool. A Sam Cooke Lou Rawls duet, and I love it. It's a great song, but I love that that's Lou Rawls. I didn't know that for years.
Mr. Understudy,
but then
he did okay for himself.
He did. You're gonna miss my love, man. What a great song that is.
Great voice, smooth voice.
All right,
I won't go through all my stuff, but
okay.
The big takeaway is his album was on. In space at one point.
The first black astronaut who went into space brought a copy.
Ian Bluford. Brought 1983. Now I got to go through it. Now, When the Night Comes, album 1983, contained the song Wind Beneath My Wings. So apropos for the space.
Did you ever know, Corey, that you're my hero?
Can I tell a sad story?
Yes, you can.
I mean, it's sad to me.
Okay.
My dad loves that song.
Okay. Is that
I have
sad?
No idea why, because he's like, there's, for him, for the most part, there's two genres of music, country and Western.
Uh-huh.
So how he ever got on the Bette Midler, I don't understand.
I have to believe that there's been a country version of that song recorded at some point or another.
Could be. So that wasn't the sad part. That, okay. Whatever. People like what they like. I have eclectic taste. Yeah. You do as well. The sad thing is, let's see, I'm 36 now.
Mm-hmm.
I would say about since I was 4.5 years old.
Yeah.
My dad has told me that when he dies, he wants that song played at his funeral. And I have no effed up clue why. Call back earlier this show.
Exactly.
I don't know why. And I'm unsettled by it.
Well, you just
roll. And I don't want to engage on the topic.
You just roll with it, man. I've got music that I want played at my funeral.
I think it's one of those things where, I know, but I think it's him. This is like, feels like a therapy session.
Yeah.
I feel like my dad and his story feels like he's some hero. No, I'm just joking.
Okay.
It's just, it's very bizarre to me. That's all. So Wind Beneath the Wings, like, well, always strikes me odd.
Mr. Butler, God bless you. We'll make sure that Wind Beneath My Wings is at your
service. He's not listening. Don't worry. Okay. we'll skip the Charlie Brown thing. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So.
Oh, I got to do the haiku.
Oh, yeah. Time now for Corey Butler's Christmas haiku.
I'll try not to crack my voice this time.
There you go.
Mistletoe and holly. The spirit is in the air. Get away from me.
Is that Holly telling you to get away from you? Because there's mistletoe, and then is a girl named Holly?
Interpret however you want.
Yeah, or is it okay? Yeah.
See, that's why it's the strength of writing.
And indeed, man. See, you are multi-layered. That's amazing.
The only bad part about this recording is we lost your hearty laugh because you really did enjoy that.
I did. I really did like that. Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed by that.
I'm sorry about that. That I do enjoy that.
Because in general, the radio land, these are all falling flat because they're silent. But that's okay. I'm willing to put myself out there.
That's all right.
Again, wrote 8 of these in 4.5 minutes.
Okay. So one of the things we discovered.
Oh, yeah. This is why we were going to go back and try to re-record and realize, oh, we didn't record.
Neither one of us knows how this song got on the list.
I do. You put it on there.
I have no earthly memory of putting the song on the list, but we're going to roll with it anyway. This is Luscious Jackson. Neither one of us has a thing to say about this song. This is Luscious Jackson doing...
Best part of the song? Short.
Doing Let It Snow on 95.1 KYMN.
Weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. There's no sure signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, I'll hate going out in the storm.
Yeah, that was Luscious Jackson. Here's Joni Mitchell.
So naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river. could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle. I'm selfish and I'm sad. Now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to reindeer singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away
on. Like I said, that was Joni Mitchell from her landmark 1971 album, Blue. That song is 50 years old. You know that she actually, the speculation is that she wrote that song about James Taylor?
I did know that.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course you did, because you look all these things up. Yeah.
Wait, who's James Taylor?
Actually, I've got a story about that, too.
I had to disappoint you somewhere.
That's for another day.
We've talked about him on this show.
We have.
A show. I don't know if it was this
I'm
show.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, I love James Taylor.
I go back and forth.
And you don't. Yeah, that's okay.
Brilliant songwriter.
Oh, absolutely. You don't like his voice.
The
See,
end.
You have a hard time with people's voices, and I just don't get that. I think there's so many voices you can get around because it's great music. Anyway.
Sure.
Anyway. So, yeah, so that was Joni. And time now.
Well, no. Who put that on the list this year?
You did.
I did.
You did.
Were you surprised?
I was pleased.
Yeah.
Surprised isn't the word.
I mean,
I'm never surprised when people want to hear Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
Joni, do I need to go into the whole Mount Rushmore thing now?
No.
Okay, good, because I'm tired of talking about
it. But there's a specific reason why this song was on my mind as
okay.
I prepared was I earlier referenced earlier that I try to transition slowly from Halloween to Christmas and not jump straight to Christmas, but I'm not infallible. I make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't want to go into my core Christmas viewing. So I was cruising Hulu one day, and they had a playlist of like Christmas episodes from different TV shows
sure.
over the years.
Right.
A lot of them were newer, but they had Wonder Years on there.
Oh.
The Wonder Years.
I've never seen a single episode of The Wonder Years.
You're joking.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
You're joking.
I am not
You're
kidding.
You're awful. do not come back next week. We'll not have week two of this show. How have you, a man born in 1969,
yes.
not
it
seen
was,
the
it was in its, it was,
You're
at
in college.
Its,
it was probably
It was at its
cool.
peak when I was in college, yeah. and I didn't have a TV.
Okay.
Well, and since then, like almost immediately after I got out of college, I started having babies, and it just
This is required viewing for you. Like you
I will
must.
Go look into it. Absolutely.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I do.
It's on Hulu.
Okay,
go watch
check
it
out. Okay, like, go find the Christmas episode.
No, not just that. Just the entire series. You start with what's called the pilot.
Okay,
that's the first episode, and you see it through the very end.
All right. I know that the actress who plays the kid's love interest. Has
Danica McKellar
has grown into a very talented and fetching
she's a mathematician
and brilliant also and makes some Hallmark films as
Does
I
she?
Recall also
okay.
yes
I was more into Fred Savage myself
was on she also had a 4 or 5 episode run on The West Wing
that is true correct
mm-hmm.
so you recall that okay
mm-hmm.
you need to watch The Wonder Years.
Okay.
So all anyway.
Right. How many seasons are there?
Five. First season's 13 episodes, though.
Okay.
Shorter. So it's probably like 100 episodes. It's a sitcom. It's only 22 minutes.
Oh, is that right? I thought there was. Yeah. I thought it was. Is there a laugh track?
No.
Okay. Then
I mean, it's not really a funny show. It's,
okay.
It's like a retelling of. I mean, you know the premise, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's
like Daniel Stern narrates it from his time as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it was inspired by The Christmas Story.
Is that right?
It is, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So if only for that reason, you should watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to spoil something for you.
All right.
On the pilot episode, Winnie Cooper's brother is found dead or
the
Vietnam War era. Oh. So the show takes place in 1968. So anyway, that's kind of percolating for like the first season because like 12-year-old, 13-year-old girl's struggling with the death of her brother.
Yeah.
Kevin's trying to like make her his girlfriend. And like, you know, it's just teenage angst and all that stuff. So the reason why I put this song on there is because I watched this episode, which I had seen before. And the Christmas episode's all about the kids trying to convince, and the mom, trying to convince the father to buy a color TV. But it's like, I don't know, $600.
Yeah.
Which in like today's money is like $3,000.
Right. Like, so it's a ton of money. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the whole episode's, well, not the whole, but part of the episode is that subplot is him trying to find the right gift for Winnie because Winnie gives him a gift. And he doesn't know what it is. And she said, don't open until Christmas. And then he's struggling with the buyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes to the store and all that stuff.
He buys her a color TV?
No.
Okay.
And what did he buy her? Like perfume or something.
Okay.
The old cliche 13-year-old thing. Right?
Sure.
But he's walking home. It's dark.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time. Yeah. River starts playing in the background.
Right.
So the best part of that is, as you said, when did this album come out?
1971.
And when did I say the show was?
1968.
68, 69, somewhere around there. So. One of those famous anachronisms.
Yes.
So it's kind of fun. I always enjoy when those pop up. They happen from time to time.
They do.
Also, this song plays in the background during a scene in Love Actually.
Yes, it does.
So I don't think a lot of people catch that one. They know Both Sides now.
Right.
Because that's
the
more prominent scene.
Joni plays strongly in Love Actually, but they
whole narrative arc around it.
Indeed.
So. Anyway, I was pleased to hear this song because I had seen the episode before, but never registered. But then because of, you know, this show, I was like, oh, hey, I spotted it immediately. I mean, it's a very obvious song once you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you're ready for the final
time
two?
Time now for the big finish of Corey Butler's Haiku Corner Christmas edition.
Big finish.
All right. Oh, dear. Okay, here we go.
Okay, what time is this going to be on?
It's
are we past 9 o'clock?
It's getting close to 9 o'clock now.
Okay, we'll do the first one. This is more of a inside joke one for you.
Okay.
But it references back to a song we've played, I think, twice now on the show.
All right,
here we go. Could have been someone, kept and killed your dreams with mine, dental insurance. Oh my God, you're puzzled? Let me give it to you again.
I got nothing.
Could have been someone.
Could have been someone.
Kept and killed your dreams with mine, dental insurance.
Mm.
The Pogues and...
Could have been someone. Yeah,
So I put killed in there. That's my addition, but kept your dreams with mine. Kept and killed your dreams because obviously it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Dental insurance. Is your man with the best teeth in the world.
Oh my gosh. What's his name? The Pogues guy. Shane McGowan. Shane McGowan, yeah.
I'm a little underwhelmed by your response.
It's been a year since I listened to that song.
Maybe it was too much of a deep cut for you. I got
so much happening in my life, dude.
I know.
Anyway, okay. I love it. That's really good.
That was
actually
the one I was most psyched
That's
about.
Well done. Right. Absolutely it is.
Would you like me to say it again? No. All right, last one. This is the blue one.
I'm gonna hear this later and I'm gonna laugh my butt off.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
Frosty the Snowman had a giant set of balls. Now where's the carrot?
You've just ruined Frosty the Snowman for me.
What? It's made up of giant snowballs and you put the carrot on the nose, right? How were you seeing that?
Happy birthday!
Well, he is in his birthday suit, I guess.
I suppose. Wow. It's a whole thing. You know what we haven't had on the show yet?
Classic.
Frank.
Yeah.
We need a little Frank. Because you believe that Bing Crosby is the king of Christmas. I fall more on the Frank Sinatra as the king of Christmas.
I think it's a moving debate within my own head. I mean,
yeah.
I would put Burl up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Gene Autry has a claim at that stake.
Like I say, Burl, Gene, and Bing were the three wise men who visited Frank in the manger.
Frank's Jesus?
Well, you know,
Or is he married?
Well, he ain't Joseph.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there it is.
Who is?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. And thank you for joining us tonight on Christmas on the Cannon. We'll be back the next 3 weeks. Take you right up to Christmas time. I think your last show's on the 23rd, I want to say.
Sounds right.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows? Just be here every Wednesday.
Exactly. All right. So anyway, here is Frank Sinatra from 1956. Okay.
Your call, not mine.
Okay, thanks, folks. We'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. The fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough.